The word of God given to us today is Luke chapter 10, verses 17 through 24. Please turn to page 109 of the New Testament. Allow me to read the words of God. The 72 returned with joy and said, "Lord, even the demons submit to us in your name." He replied, "I saw Satan fall like lightning from heaven. I have given you authority to trample on snakes and scorpions and to overcome all the power of the enemy. Nothing will harm you. However, do not rejoice that the spirits submit to you, but rejoice that your names are written in heaven." At that time, Jesus, full of joy through the Holy Spirit, said, "I praise you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because you have hidden these things from the wise and learned and revealed them to little children. Yes, Father, this is what you were pleased to do. All things have been committed to me by my Father. No one knows who the Son is except the Father, and no one knows who the Father is except the Son, and those to whom the Son chooses to reveal him." Then he returned to his disciples and said privately, "Blessed are the eyes that see what you see. For I tell you that many prophets and kings wanted to see what you see, but did not see it, and to hear what you hear, but did not hear it." Today's passage shows a scene in which 70 disciples whom Jesus sent return and tell of their ministries, and Jesus gives thanks. Verse 17 says, "The 72 returned with joy and said, 'Lord, even the demons submit to us in your name.'" It could be seen on the faces of the 70 disciples what had happened during their ministries without hearing them tell Jesus what had happened. Now college applicants hear their results through telephone automatic response systems or through the internet. But in the past, you would have to go to the school you applied to and check the notice board there. If your child had applied to a university and went to the school to find out the results, you would know what the result was when your child returned home simply by checking his or her expression without having to ask. It would be particularly more so if your child had gotten accepted into a school that he or she most wanted to go to. One can also tell from acceptance letters for new recruits at companies the results by looking at the first part of the letter. The letters are usually very short. For example, they say, "We notify that the applicant has passed the final interview at Yanghwa Jin Company, and we congratulate the applicant." This is it. And the letter would notify the person about the preparations that would need to be made to begin work at the company. If the letter stated, "Thank you for applying for a company, a capable person such as the applicant," in the beginning and stretched on, it would mean that the person was not accepted. The same goes for when a marriage proposal is made. A man could say to a woman, or a woman could say to a man, "Would you like to live together? I would like to spend the rest of my life with you. I only want to love one person, which is you." To such proposals, one would be able to tell about what the other person is thinking just by their expression or hearing the first few words they say. If the person starts off by saying, "Oh, you graduated from a good school and work at a good company," or, "We've known each other since we were really young and we're very close," or, "When I first met you at our company, you were so nice to me," If this is how the person begins to respond, it means, no, you're not the one for me. The conclusion would be, let's just be good colleagues or friends. If when a marriage proposal is made, the other person says, really, I was going to ask you first, or I was thinking, when is that simpleton going to propose? When this is how the other person responds, it means they're accepting the proposal. The more the other person wanted the proposal, the more dramatic the exclamations would be. Jesus knew about his disciples' ministry without hearing from them. Their faces told everything. The disciples told Jesus that the demons had submitted to them. Demons submitting to them means that they were able to heal illnesses. It means a lot that the disciples told Jesus that demons submitted to them. When Jesus went up the mountain to pray with his three disciples, Peter, John, and James, his appearance changed and his clothes turned white and started to shine. There Jesus talked about his leaving, Exodus, a path outside the path, his death on the cross, and his resurrection with Moses and Elijah. Below the mountain, a man who had a demon-possessed son brought him to Jesus' disciples. When the demon sees the boy, it destroyed the boy's body. The disciples, having experienced driving out demons before, thought they would be able to drive out the demon again, but nothing happened this time. Jesus, who came down from the mountain, knew about all of this and referred to the people as an unbelieving and perverse generation, and he healed the boy. The 70 disciples would have watched the scene. When they did their ministries after being sent by Jesus, they would have been very careful. But they were unable to drive out demons. So they told Jesus about what had happened, not by saying the demons submitted to us, but the demons submitted to us in your name. They did not elevate themselves, but confessed this was done through Jesus' name. After hearing what his disciples had to say, Jesus said the following. Verses 18 to 19 say, I saw Satan fall like lightning from heaven. I have given you authority to trample on snakes and scorpions and to overcome all the power of the enemy. Nothing will harm you. The 70 disciples saw demons leaving when they spoke in the name of Jesus. But Jesus saw Satan falling from the heaven. This is like a preview of Satan's complete defeat at the apocalypse. The word theoreo, that means saw, does not mean looking at something without any thoughts in mind, but to look at something with deep interest and a clear purpose. The word was used when a commander inspected troops. Jesus looked at what was happening in the heavens while his disciples did their ministries. The commonality between snakes and scorpions is that they both have venom. This symbolizes the forces of Satan that attempt to bring people down. The disciples saw what was happening on earth, but Jesus saw what was happening in the heavens. The reason the disciples were safe from snakes and scorpions was because Jesus possesses supreme power. When the 70 disciples were overjoyed at demons submitting to them, Jesus said the following. Verse 20 says, "However, do not rejoice that the spirits submit to you, but rejoice that your names are written in heaven." Jesus said driving out demons was nothing compared to disciples' names being written in heaven. We regard demon submission as greater than our names being put down in the book of life in the heavens. However, it is clear that our names being recorded in the heavens is a much greater joy. From a monetary perspective, if we receive 10,000 won in monthly salary and then received 100,000 won, we would be very happy. But if one were to move to Microsoft and it paid 1 million won in monthly salary, then we would feel like we own the world. But then another friend that came to Microsoft with me becomes Bill Gates' child. I work with a friend and I receive 1 million won a month, but the friend does not receive a salary. But the friend has access to everything at Bill Gates' home and is also his heritor. If receiving 1 million won in monthly salary is parallel to driving out demons, becoming Bill Gates' child would be like having one's name recorded in the heavens. Actually, our names being written in the heavens is so great, it cannot really be compared to anything. Jesus told the 70 disciples who were overjoyed after returning from their ministries to be more joyful over the fact that their names are written in the heavens. But Jesus was also happy to see his disciples happy. Verse 21 says, "At that time Jesus, full of joy through the Holy Spirit, said, 'I praise you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because you have hidden these things from the wise and learned, revealed them to little children. Yes, Father, for this is what you were pleased to do.'" Jesus was more joyful than his disciples at the sight of their joy. The word joyful that was used when the disciples told Jesus of their ministries is different from the word used when describing Jesus' joy. The word used for Jesus' joy was agaliao, which means jumping up and down. This would mean jumping up and down for joy. It is what one does when he cannot contain joy. During the 2002 World Cup hosted by Korea and Japan, the South Korean soccer player Cha Do-ri joined the national team. He was not a key player for the games. During preliminary rounds when South Korea played against Poland, he only joined at the end of the second half with 1 minute remaining. And when South Korea played against Italy, Cha joined in the second half with 7 to 8 minutes remaining. Because South Korea was losing 0-1, It could have been South Korea's last match. Cha's father, Cha Bom-gun, at the time was a commentator. The senior Cha made strict references to his son's moves. He said he needs to move fast. He lacks confidence. South Korea ended up winning the match 2-1 with An Jung-won's dramatic goal. At the time, commentator Cha said, "They are all proud sons of all of us. There is my son as well." The senior Cha was unconsciously showing his joy toward his son that he had kept hidden. His son hadn't scored a goal or even helped other players in doing so. His son had simply taken part in the match, and Cha's father was happy that the team had won the match. Jesus showed the same response when his disciples returned after a successful ministry. The Pharisees that were considered at the time to be wise did not know of the wonders of the gospel. But young children and Jesus' disciples, who were looked down upon because of their lack of knowledge and poverty, were granted the blessing. We cannot know why Jesus kept the truth from some people and let others learn about it. This is God's sphere of work. We can only receive His blessings. And we serve as an example. How many people are there out there in the world that are smarter and more outstanding than us? How many people are there out there that are wealthier and more privileged than us? How many people are there out there that live better lives of good than us? Don't you think of yourself as a lousy person? Sometimes I think of myself as truly pathetic. There are so many people in the world who are better than us, but many of them do not know of God's grace and the truth. But we know of God's grace and the truth. We do not know why He let us know. If anyone asked, I wouldn't know how else to respond than by saying, God loved us and God did so. Jesus spoke of how blessed his disciples were to receive such grace. Verses 23-24 say, "Then he returned to his disciples and said privately, Blessed are the eyes that see what you see. For I tell you that many prophets and kings wanted to see what you see, but did not see it, and to hear what you hear, but did not hear it." Jesus is the Creator who existed as the Word before eternity. Jesus came to this earth as the only means for us to reach God, to save us as true light and eternal life. But with the exception of a very small number of people, others did not know this about Jesus. There were a lot of prophets in the Old Testament. They were people who spoke God's words. They only vaguely knew about the Messiah that was to come. Isaiah chapter 53 describes in the greatest detail of the Messiah to come in the Old Testament. Isaiah chapter 53 verses 2 to 6 say, "He grew up before him like a tender shoot and like a root out of dry ground. He had no beauty or majesty to attract us to him, nothing in his appearance that we should desire him. He was despised and rejected by mankind, a man of suffering and familiar with pain. No one from whom people hide their faces, he was despised, and we held him in low esteem. Surely he took up our pain and bore our suffering. Yet we considered him punished by God, stricken by him and afflicted. But he was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. The punishment that brought us peace was on him, and by his wounds we are healed. We all, like sheep, have gone astray. Each of us has turned to our own way. The Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all." Prophet Isaiah wrote about the Messiah that came to the world, but he was unable to see him. The kings in the past had absolute power. David, Solomon, Hezekiah, Josiah were blessed as kings and believers of God, but did not see God, who is the truth. However, the disciples were in front of Jesus. And this is why the disciples are more blessed than any other person in the Old Testament. Then we are much more blessed than Jesus' 12 disciples or his 70 disciples. Actually, they did not know exactly who Jesus was and did not know what the cross that Jesus had to bear was. And Jesus repeatedly said he would rise from the dead, but they did not think in their dreams that this would actually happen. But we hear the gospel at a time point when Jesus' death and resurrection and his ascension to heaven has been completed. We also know about God, how Jesus came to the world, and what kind of life he lived here to give us eternal life. And we believe that the Holy Spirit guides us. Plus, we have Bibles in their completed forms, which are a guide to how we should live our lives. This is something the people at the time of Jesus were unable to dream of. In today's passage, when the 70 disciples spoke of God's kingdom, they were joyful to see demons submitting to them, and told this to Jesus. They may have witnessed the demon-possessed person in chapter 8 who does not wear clothes and lives in a graveyard, but hears about God's kingdom and then wears clothes and goes to live in a house. They may also have witnessed the demon-possessed son of the father in chapter 9 that destroys his body and jumps into waters and fires when he is seized by the demon, and see this boy hear the gospel and take care of his body. But Jesus did not watch what was happening on the earth, but what was happening in the heavens. He saw Satan falling from the heavens and told the disciples to be happy that their names are written in the heavens. What happens on earth is not irrelevant to what happens in the heavens. Jesus told the parable of a woman who had 10 silver coins, but lost one and then found it again, and concluded by saying in Luke chapter 15, verse 10, In the same way, I tell you, there is rejoicing in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner who repents. He said, what happens on earth is not irrelevant from what happens in the heavens. Then, although we live on earth, seeing things that are visible to the eye, it would be right as Christians to live in consciousness of what happens in the heavens that is not visible to the eye. About a month ago, I read an article in the Kungmin-ilbo about Christians who seek fortune tellers. One fortune teller told the reporter who visited that Christians also come to us with similar worries. Yesterday, a churchgoer in his 60s came to check marital compatibility between his youngest daughter and her fiancé. Churchgoers will also seek comfort when they're in trouble or have worries. About 3 out of 10 people coming here are churchgoers. It is said the two largest associations of fortune tellers have around 300,000 members each. Considering the fortune tellers who are not members of these associations, their total number is estimated to add up to 1 million. Although I would not like to believe so, if the figure is accurate, then 1 out of 50 people of the population would be involved in this sector. It is said the market is worth 4 trillion to 6 trillion won. In the past, people saw fortune tellers at fortune-telling houses. But now they're able to seek them online or through phone calls. People are now seeking to learn the art of fortune-telling at private academies or other learning centers. There is a fortune teller's house on my way home from church. The name of the place is Confession of Sins. The letters in Korean stand for a fortune teller's house that resolves your problems and provides you success. The problem is that a notable number of Christians seek fortune tellers. They seek to learn about their fortunes for the year or compatibility with marriage partners. About 20 to 30% of Christians seek fortune tellers. So some fortune tellers state on flyers that they ensure that Christians' secrets are kept. What is the reason Christians seek fortune tellers? They would not seek fortune tellers with concerns such as, how can I get rid of the incompatible aspects of my personality? Or, there is a person who is like an enemy, but I would like to make peace with this person. Or, I want to be a better person and I want to share more with others, but I have been unable to. How can I change? They wouldn't see fortune tellers asking these questions. They would seek fortune tellers for the same concerns non-Christians seek them, such as compatibility or choices, health and longevity. They would ask things such as, how can I have more than I have now? How can I get to a more successful position than others? The reason Christians seeking fortune tellers is wrong is because they deny that our lives as Christians is connected to the heavens, which we do not see. This is because it is denying the God who created and guides us, because he is not visible. Matters of the earth and the heavens are not irrelevant. Our visible daily lives are connected to the heavens which we do not see. After seeing the disciples' joy after their return, Jesus tells them to rejoice that their names are written in heaven. Our names being written in heaven is not something done by us. God wrote our names because Jesus died on the cross for us. So written is not in active form, but in passive form. This means our lives should be in passive form. Living according to the will of the one who has written our names in the heavens is living with joy that our names have been written. And this is how we can make the one who has planted us in the spheres of our lives with all his heart and soul happy. Blessed are those remembering that one's name is written in the heavens and see what is not visible to the eye. Let us pray. Father God, like the 70 disciples that were sent by Jesus experienced, when we see miracles like demons submitting to us in our lives of faith, we think that we would lead better lives of faith. However, looking back, there are countless instances in which God extended his hand to us and blessed us with his grace, but we were disappointed and lived in despair, thinking that God did not grant us the things of visible things in life. The disciples were happy to see the demons submitting to them. But Jesus told us to rejoice that our names are written in heaven. We lead our lives of faith on earth. But let us not forget that this is not irrelevant to the heavens. Let us remember that we have been blessed with something that the prophets and kings of the Old Testament and Jesus' disciples were not granted. At the time of the Old Testament, the Holy Spirit was only with a small number of people. But for us, the Spirit is with us from the moment we open our eyes in the morning to when we sleep at night, and keeps with us when we sleep and are unable to do anything. We thank you for that. Also, when the disciples were with Jesus, the disciples and the people of the time were unable to imagine having the complete form of God's words. But thank you for letting us have this and keep it with us at all times. But Father God, We have been granted all of these blessings, but we are thirsty to have more of what is visible to us. Instead of being joyful over our names being written in the heavens, if we sought places which we should not have to obtain more of what is visible to the eye, let us repent and make us new in your grace. Help us to live remembering that our lives on this earth are not irrelevant to the heavens. Let us live passive forms of life that are in line with the will of the one who has written our names in the heavens. Grant us the blessing that we are able to see not only the things that are visible to us, but also invisible yet eternal. Let the spheres of our lives where you have planted us be the sites of grace in which we see both the earth and the heavens and become God's kingdom on earth. In Jesus' name we pray, amen.